Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we have never had a time such as this in America. And I mean ever, ever. The revolution, yeah, maybe Civil War was bad, but we're in a time that parallels those two and may even be worse. This is potentially more threatening than the Great Depression, the time we're going through now, because we have the irresistible force. That's us, the people that want our freedom and our Constitution. And then we got those who won't leave us alone, and they want to control everything we do, and they don't want to leave power. You're going to have to be in the best shape possible. You're going to have to be prepped. And so along those lines, I asked our guest, Daniel Lyons, to come on, the Patriot Trainer. Great name. And I asked him to come on to talk about, things like fitness and diet and, nutrition and all these things, because we could be going into grid down stuff. We could be going into civil unrest, and you could be isolated for a while without resupply. And this is why I'm telling people, you really got to get ready. Folks, this is not fear mongering. I was reading to you from leaked documents yesterday, and I'm not the only one who has this stuff. This is across with all my colleagues. So, will we persevere? I believe we will. But I asked Dan to come in. I said, hey, let's give people a leg up on things they can do to help sturdy themselves against what's coming. Dan, welcome to the show. Sorry about the long intro, but I've taken this very seriously.
That's okay, Dave. Yeah, it's great to be back here. And you're right, we are living in scary times. It's great times because we don't have to put up with, hopefully don't have to put up with the woke stuff anymore. But it is scary times. I talked to someone earlier today, a very patriotic friend of mine, and he said, "How do you feel about, the recent events? Trump's going to get in." And I said, "You know what? I'm very happy, but I have not stopped prepping for one second."
You shouldn't.
That's
You shouldn't.
prepping my body, prepping my food supply, prepping in all areas. This is not a time to relax, and it's a time to, continue to stay motivated, to be prepared for all areas. So in that, I kind of wanted to come on today and talk about seed oils. And I know I've talked about seed oils in the past, but in the past, it's been very, I've gone into the science. And I'm not saying that I'm not going to do that today, but I want to go into the history of these seed oils because it's very important to know. And I say that because seed oils have gotten a lot of attention today, in today's world, with podcasters and everything, and it's good. I'm really, really glad that people are talking about seed oils and talking about the negative, damaging effects from these oils. However, it seems to be the same story. Everyone pins it on Procter and Gamble in the early 1900s. They created Crisco, and it pretty much was like this greedy capitalist thing where Procter and Gamble wanted to make money. And they kind of go about it as, the whole seed oil industry started there, but it didn't actually start there. It has this much deeper, more sinister history, and I wanted to kind of share that with you today and with your audience. So I'm very happy that RFK Jr. and people like Callie Means and Casey Means and other people and influence in the influencer space are talking about this. I'm really, really glad.
Do you feel like
I'm
you're
going to
no
go
longer
into.
the lone voice in the wilderness now?
I don't feel like I'm the lone voice, and I like it because,
Yeah, me too.
I want to educate people. I want people to wake up, and I'm just glad that all these other channels that are much, much bigger than me are able to reach more people and bring more awareness to these seed oils. But again, it's always Procter and Gamble, and these evil corporations, which is not false. It's true. Procter and Gamble are a part of this, but it's more of the global order that I want to talk about today, and why and how this seed oil industry has kind of been a part of our food supply for a long time, and it seems to be getting worse. But I have some good news at the end of this presentation, which your audience is probably going to like, because it's not all doom and gloom.
Okay.
Now,
Well, I know that because I listened to RFK Jr., for example. Okay.
yeah.
He says it's bad, but he says if we come out on the other side, Dr. Stephen Gundry says the same thing. He said if you can eliminate some of these harmful foods and replace it with this, this is how you improve. I mean, there's a real consistent message, Dan, that's beginning to come through for the first time in the face of big pharma and big food.
Yep, you're 100% right, and I'm going to get all into that today. So I'm excited to start this, and
Well, let's
let's
go.
dive.
Let's do it.
So, what are seed oils? So we're going to talk about that briefly, and then we're going to get into the history. So the easiest way that I can explain this to you is seed oils are healthy fats, which are not actually healthy at all. They've misled the public into consuming them in to the point where everyone is sick, everyone is overweight, everyone is unhealthy in all areas. So seed oils are also called vegetable oils, and they do this to make them seem like they're more healthy. Another term that you'll hear is edible oils. Okay, so there's different terms that they use. Well, these man-made oils were not meant to be consumed by humans, period. These are industrially made oils. They are not healthy at all. They're not meant to be consumed by us. So these oils are full of what's called polyunsaturated fats. And because of this, these oils are liquid at room temperature.
Okay, gotcha.
So, yeah. So how does this happen? So typically, a good quality, healthy fat, like an animal fat, for example, butter, lard, beef tallow, these fats are mainly saturated, and that's a healthy thing, even though that we're told that it's not healthy. So when these fats are saturated, it means that the fatty acid chains themselves are fully saturated with hydrogens, which makes them tightly packed together and therefore solid at room temperature. So oils are full of unsaturated fat, and that means that the fatty acid chains have hydrogens missing, making the chains kind of flexible and they can move and articulate. And that's why it makes those fats liquid at room temperature. It's what makes them an oil instead of like a solid fat. So let me just say right off the bat, seed oils create insulin resistance, they create obesity, they create cancers, they create cognitive decline, and they create heart disease, even though the powers that be tell us that it's the opposite, that these are healthy things. Okay.
Oh,
So that's
wow.
kind of the summary of seed oils in general. Now, where did these actually come from? Where did these oils come from, and why are they in our food supply? How did they get there? Well, we're gonna do a history lesson here. We actually need to rewind way back before Procter and Gamble. We need to rewind all the way back to the cotton trade. So there was a company called the East India Company, which is a British and Dutch
Is that the East
faction.
India Tea Company?
Yeah.
I thought so. Yeah. Okay. Just make
Yep.
sure we're talking about the same thing. Yeah. And that was part of the group that gave us the 2% tax on tea that led to the revolution, right? Yeah. Okay. All
Yep.
right. Hey, I'm
So,
sorry. I just wanted to make sure we're talking about the same company, but go ahead.
No, definitely, definitely. It's also the same company that they portray in the Pirates of the Caribbean movie. So, if you ever watch that movie, you'll see the East India Trade Company. So, this company monopolized cotton trade, and it was a globalist entity for controlling trade throughout the world in general. And it was first chartered by Queen Elizabeth I. And written into the company's provisions was an allowance for the company to create their own currency, raise their own armies, and wage war against any entity that they thought necessary. So think of that. A company, corporation, entity, whatever you want to call it, is allowed to create their own currency, raise their own armies, mostly from slaves, and wage war against anyone or anything that they thought necessary, that they thought was a threat. So that's how much power that this company had. And, oops, sorry. Thought I lost you.
Okay.
So
Oh, I'm right
the
here.
English.
I just, you know what you're saying, and let me just briefly, since we had a pause there, you're talking about a corporate army with corporate politics, and it's a lot of what we see today with big pharma.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Now, the East India Company was actually the trade arm of the British Crown. So ultimately, this was controlled by what's called the Jesuit Military Order and another entity called the Committee of 300.
Oh, you're speaking my language.
Yes. So now you'll hear me throw around a lot of organizations here, but in reality, everything is tied to this Jesuit military order. Now, the East India Company, they were responsible for the opium policy in China, which basically turned China into a nation of addicts. They also completely took over India, and they controlled the global slave trade and other and also the global cotton trade. So the reason I'm saying this is because this is going to be a precursor for cottonseed oil. So basically, the order through an apparatus called the Royal Institute of International Affairs forced the first industrial revolution in the 17 and 1800s. It was a global Jesuit military order, just like the forcing of today's fourth industrial revolution that we see. So the goal of the first industrial revolution was basically to centralize manufacturing under the guise of making the economy more accessible for everyone. Okay. So this required lots of new machines. It required, there was chemical manufacturing, iron production, water power, steam power, and eventually machine tools. And up until this time, cotton production had a toxic waste product known as cottonseed oil, and it was toxic. It was obviously toxic because it was killing wild hogs that were outside of the cotton mills. So this is where cottonseed oil came from originally. And, so cottonseed oil at this time was not in our food supply yet. And meanwhile, 1851, the US government started distributing soybeans. So this is kind of a side note here. And I'm going to link them back together.
Okay.
1851, US government started distributing soybeans to basically to farmers in the Corn Belt, states like Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska. So this was all done under an agreement with basically between the British Crown and the US government.
Was it tied to slavery?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, yeah, absolutely. And so you have to understand that. All along, they were using whale fat, raccoon fat, and other animals, the fat with animals for things like soap, things like skin products, lamp oil, cooking oil, etc. And, throughout the rest of the 1800s, the global order phased all of this out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they artificially accelerated the first industrial revolution and basically, the old methods of using animal fats couldn't keep up with the demand. And this is exactly what they wanted. So basically, they used the 1800s to slowly create a demand for an alternative to these animal oils. And again, these were natural fats that they were phasing out, fats that we were cooking with, fats that we were consuming and on our skin. And using in our hair and everything. So these were phased
Dan,
out.
were these fats good for us at the time?
They were very good for us. Butter, lard, beef tallow,
Right.
whale fat, raccoon fat. I mean, those are naturally occurring stable fats that you would find in nature. So by the early 1900s, it was time for them to come in with their solution, okay? And this was their solution was the waste product coming from cotton production. It was cottonseed oil. So basically, the once toxic waste was now coming to the rescue for big industry. And also, consumer products like soap, skin products, cooking oils. Now, these products were suddenly more affordable because they were using a cheap waste product, cottonseed oil. They weren't relying on animal fats anymore. So they came to the rescue with this cottonseed oil. And so, So back to the farming in the soy. Meanwhile, soybeans were basically becoming the main source of feeding for all farm animals across the United States. And, you know, this was forced by an agreement between the order and our U.S. government. And
What year was,
soybeans,
excuse me to interrupt, but about what year are we talking about here?
we're talking somewhere in the early 1900s. I don't have the exact date on that.
So it was post-Civil War.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, this
So
is where
basically,
the Rockefellers got involved in medical school. Yeah. Okay. I get
exactly.
it. It's the same movie,
Yeah,
isn't it?
it's all coming together.
Yep.
So, you know, soybeans were becoming a part of our life. They were the main source of feeding for all animals. And again, this was due to an agreement between the British Crown and the US government. Now, you have to remember that soybeans were native to China and should never have been artificially pushed into the US or artificially pushed into the world. They were used to eating these in China. The animals were used to soybeans in China. We were not. So this was kind of a shock to the animals. It was a shock to the world. Okay. So cows, chickens, pigs were suddenly thrown into eating a diet of 90% soy. And this was like their testing grounds for getting soy into our diets as human beings. Now, back to the cottonseed oil, because these things are going to basically come together eventually. Here comes Procter and Gamble, William Procter and James Gamble, who are funded by the British Crown. Okay, that's something that people probably don't know. And they were funded to basically create this corporation called Procter and Gamble. And in 1911, Procter and Gamble officially came out with a product called Crisco and began marketing it to the masses. Now, Crisco was hydrogenated cottonseed oil. And I want to just quickly explain what that means. Now, to make cottonseed oil stable, they had to artificially add hydrogens into the fatty acid chains. They added these into it's called the transposition on the fatty acid chain, and that's why they're called trans fats. This was kind of the birth of trans fats. And I want to stress here that, you know, Procter and Gamble and Crisco wasn't just a fluke. Okay. They weren't just two random businessmen who were greedy and capitalists, and they took advantage of the capitalist system. You know, they were propped up from many different entities, but ultimately by the Jesuit order, the Crown, the Committee of 300, they were propped up. This wasn't just a random thing. And like I said before, there's a lot of influencers out there that are exposing seed oils now. They tend to pin the blame on Procter and Gamble. And you know, it's kind of a nearsighted look, but you know, they were involved. However, they were just merely puppets of the global order, just like today's Mark Zuckerberg, today's Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, Tetros, and so
Were
on.
they just kind of like middlemen going along to get along?
They were going along to get along. They were probably bribed. They enjoyed their luxurious life, but they weren't just two guys that came up with an idea to make Crisco and they thought, you know, let's just do this from the grassroots. No, that wasn't the case. So I want people to really understand that when they think of Procter and Gamble and Crisco and everything. This was manufactured. They were funded by the global order. So, you know, as time went on, Procter and Gamble became more of a shady company, and this kind of helps to pin the blame on Procter and Gamble as this evil entity. But well, actually, I'll tell you one example. Okay, so Dr. Clarence Gamble, it was the early 1900s. He was heavily involved in the Harvard Medical School eugenics research and racial purity and sterilization
Oh, yeah.
program, and that's
Well
the
aware of
guy
that.
that. Yeah, that's the guy that inherited the Procter and Gamble fortune. So, and you know, side note, Harvard Medical School was and still is a product of Tavistock, which is just another apparatus of the order, the crown, the committee of 300. So you can kind of see that
Hey, can I stop you just
even,
for a second so our audience
sure.
follow what you're saying there? Some will know, but Tavistock was about basically institutionalizing propaganda to get people to believe the wrong things, to put it in layman's
Exactly.
terms. Yeah.
Exactly.
They were the creator of the public opinion polls and all that stuff. Yes.
Absolutely. Spot on. So let's take a look at the culture around this time. So you'll notice if you look back at most cookbooks from the 1900s, early 1900s, butter and lard were basically taken out and Crisco was put in. So, all of the advertising was pushing Crisco and phasing out animal fats. They were saying, modern housewives use Crisco. It's an old barbaric idea to use animal fats. Also, it's healthier to use Crisco. It's more stylish. And this is kind of where the birth of the slogan came from that says, like, get with the times. This was kind of like the birth of that type of advertising. So, how did they coordinate this cultural shift? Well, all entertainment, advertising, propaganda was controlled by an arm of Tavistock called the Star Group. Okay. So I did a deep dive on all of this. And this Star Group, a branch of Tavistock, they controlled all of the cookbooks, the advertising, the culture in general at this time. And everyone switched from butter, lard, beef tallow to Crisco. And they did that because of this propaganda from the Star Group, which is an arm of Tavistock. So this is how they shifted the entire culture away from natural fats. And basically the masses accepted it, accepted this industrial garbage. So zooming out for a second here, let's look at the timeline of the last century and seed oils. So the early 1900s, the population of the US was only 100 million people. And after the first year of Crisco being on the scene, Procter and Gamble, through all these other entities, sold 60 million units of Crisco, which again is hydrogenated cottonseed oil. It's extremely unhealthy. The propaganda surrounding Crisco at this time was the birth of consumer ignorance. And this is because the whole culture was like, trust brands instead of focusing on ingredients. And that's what we see today. We see a lot of trust into brands and institutions. It was basically teaching people to not use their brain and just to trust the companies, trust the government.
Sure.
That's what we see
Sure,
today.
exactly. I get it.
So as this was all happening with Procter and Gamble, the same entities who were basically mass producing cottonseed oil started also mass producing soybean oil. So this is where the soybean oil comes into the equation here. And in the 1940s, they basically put soybean oil in margarine. This was kind of the first little test of using soybean oil and the beginning of soybean oil being in our food supply. So 1961, the American Heart Association, another corrupt, disgusting entity, okay? These guys came out with a recommendation that said that we should all eat more seed oils and less red meat. And let me just say that the American Heart Association was paid off by Procter and Gamble. This is why dietary recommendations were announced by the American Heart Association to leave the healthy animal fats and instead eat these polyunsaturated waste products. So, in reality, the American Heart Association is just another asset of the global order, specifically the Tavistock branch. And so 1970 comes around. There's two nutritionists that come on the scene. Their names were Mary Enig and Fred Kumerow. Probably names that no one knows. They can
I have to
research these
confess,
guys.
I've never heard of that either. I want to ask you a parallel question. I want to go back to these two people real quick.
Yeah.
But wasn't this the rise of big pharma controlling medical schools as well?
Yes,
Okay, so it's a
absolutely.
joint
Same
movement,
time.
multidisciplinary movement is what we're talking about. And we're focusing on this one part. Okay, go back to these two individuals.
Absolutely. Yeah. So these two nutritionists, Mary and Fred, they basically started to expose trans fats, and the FDA did not ban them at this time, but they released a statement saying that they were potentially harmful. Okay, so they said trans fats were potentially harmful. Now, why were these nutritionists allowed to expose trans fats and not be stopped? Well, because the public needed and needs to have events happen where corruption is exposed. And by doing this, it retains trust in the illusion of freedom and justice. Well, immediately after this trans fat statement came out, magically new poisonous seed oils were conveniently ready to be deployed to the general population. So these new seed oils were, and the obvious one we talked about, soybean oil, which had already had a 3-decade-long track record being in our food supply. But also there was the addition of oils called, there was corn oil, there was sunflower oil, safflower oil, canola oil, grape seed oil, rape seed oil, and rice bran oil.
Olive oil
Now,
too? Would it be olive oil too?
olive oil is a little bit different. That's a side conversation. We
Okay,
can kind of
I
talk
don't
about
want to
that
take
at
you
the
down that
end.
path, but
Yeah,
you're
no.
mentioning
That's a
all the oils,
whole.
and there's controversy right now about what's good olive oil and bad olive oil.
Right,
I have a feeling if we went down that tributary,
right.
which we're not, we'd probably find similar bad things happening.
Exactly. We should probably do a whole show on olive oil sometime.
Yeah.
So these polyunsaturated oils, which is different than olive oil. They're not trans fats. They weren't trans fats. They're still not trans fats, but they are filled with polyunsaturated fats, which oxidize and become rancid very, very easily. So, how do they make these oils? Okay, because it's still how they made them back then still applies to today. So, first of all, they use hexane, which is a neurotoxin, and they use this to separate the seeds from the oils. Okay, that's step one. Step two, they boil the oil, which sterilizes it. Okay, so it sterilizes it, yet when you use any sort of heat with these oils, it creates something called toxic aldehydes, which it's the same components that you find in cigarette smoke. Now, these oils oxidize so easily that if you expose them to sunlight for 10 seconds, they will oxidize. So you can imagine what boiling them does to these oils. So the next step that they do to make these oils is they bleach them. And they do this to lighten the color because it's a disgusting black tar and they want it to look better. They want it to make it look more like olive oil. So they use bleach to bleach out the disgusting color. And then they use a steam injection process, which is to eliminate the rancid odor. Because remember, these oils smell terrible because they are rancid and they need to get the smell out of them so consumers won't be turned off. So, the 1970 was the first time that they came out with this process, and that has been the same process of making these seed oils all the way until today. Another thing that happened in the 70s was McDonald's abandoned beef tallow because they used to use beef tallow to cook their French fries. They switched to soybean oil. So at this time, soybean oil became the most dominant edible oil in the US. So now I'm going to run through some key important events. I'm going to just run through them quickly from the 1990s until today. And it's all a bunch of smoke and mirrors. It's a clown show to basically keep the illusion of justice. Basically, 1990, the University of Missouri and the Missouri Soybean Manufacturing Council, I think it was called, funded a study showing that soybean oil was ba basically a better oil to use than diesel fuel. Okay. So this
I
is
heard that.
how.
Yeah, I did hear about that. Yes.
So this is how soybean oil became a fuel and an engine lubricant. That's why everyone that talks about seed oils says, oh, we're eating a petrochemical product. Well, it's because we are. This became, the leading biodiesel fuel was this soybean oil, the same thing that we are consuming. So that was 1990, and 1996, Monsanto, which I'm sure you're familiar with, introduced the first genetically modified soybeans. And from that point on, 90% of the soybean and soybean oil industry was genetically modified. So 1999 came along. There was an executive order here in the U.S., I think it was 13134, called for the expansion of soybean-based products into engines and also into our food supply. So you can look that executive order up. 2001, soybean oil accounted for 90% of the domestic and global edible oil industry, 90%. 2002 came along. The Institute of Medicine issued a report basically stating that the consumption of trans fats, because remember, trans fats weren't banned yet. They issued this statement saying that they should be as low as possible. Okay, so this is where we get the illusion of justice coming to start to come into play.
Do you agree with that statement about lowering trans fat consumption?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. We should have zero trans fat.
So they were trying to appear to be a white hat organization.
Exactly.
They're doing devious things behind the scenes.
Exactly. It was all to, in my opinion, it was all to give the appearance of justice, because so many people were starting to come out against trans fats that they said, you know what, we need to really get rid of these trans fats. But as you'll see soon, they replaced them with soybean oil and other oils. But going down this timeline still, 2003 came along. The FDA finally, with trans fats, they said that companies need to start labeling their products to see, so consumers can see that there's trans fats in there. They must disclose this on the label. So again, we're continuing the illusion of free will. We're continuing the illusion of justice here.
Sure.
2011, the U.S. biodiesel industry breaks the 1 billion gallons produced mark. So that's the amount of soybean oil based disgusting oil that was in the diesel industry. Okay, so the biodiesel industry and the food industry are basically sharing this soybean oil.
Yeah,
2015, the FDA states trans fats are no longer generally recognized as safe. Okay, thanks, FDA. So again, this is further promoting this illusion of justice. 2018 hits. Food manufacturers must ensure their products no longer have trans fat. So basically, this is when they were banned. Okay. And where are we today? Okay, by 2024, 9.3 billion pounds of soybean oil was put in our food supply this year. So far, 9.3 billion pounds. We're almost at the end of the year. Can you even, this is just in the U.S., 9.3 billion pounds of soybean oil in our food supply this year alone. So I'm going to, you can't even comprehend.
I'm going to ask you, how does this show up in our health? I'm sure you're getting there, but I'm beginning to wonder. In
many different ways. It destroys our ability to make energy from the food that we eat, because it destroys, I don't want to get too much into the science, but it destroys
affects the ATP and stuff like that, right?
Yep. It destroys our metabolic pathways that create ATP for energy. So we're eating and we're eating and we're eating, but we can't make energy from the food that we eat. So we keep getting more and more fat. We keep putting on weight. We're getting slower and sluggish, because in reality, our bodies are malnourished because we're eating food and we're not able to get calories out of that food, because the calories are getting stored as body fat. So that's one way, you know, as a fitness guy, that's kind of the main thing that attracted me to even research this topic. And then there's other things too. There's When your metabolic pathways are damaged, specifically pathways that create ATP, aerobic respiration is what's damaged the most by these seed oils. You can undergo genetic mutations. You can undergo mitochondrial mutations that can spiral into cancer. And it does. You know, that is what arsenic does. That's what all the poisons in our environment do. They destroy our ability to make energy from the food that we eat at the mitochondrial level. So it spirals into all these diseases of the West, I call them. You know, you can easily become insulin resistant. You can easily become type 2 diabetic. You can have cognitive decline that spirals into, you know, a neurodegenerative disorder. Lots of bad things can happen when your cells are no longer able to make proper energy from the food that you eat.
Yeah,
So,
what's
a little
interesting,
side note.
we're having explosions in the rates of the disorders you just mentioned.
Yep, absolutely. So I kind of want to just give my own opinion of where do we stand today. So this is not fact, this is just my opinion. I truly believe that we have two new world orders fighting with each other
We do.
for power,
We
okay?
do. Absolutely.
So in my opinion, we have a Zionist new world order, and we have basically the Jesuit crown military order. And you know, we didn't talk about the Zionist world order that much, but basically this was an order that was originally created by the Jesuit order. They had an agreement and they failed with their agreement, and now they're fighting with each other for power. They're struggling. They are trying to outdo each other. And you know, meanwhile, people are waking up. So this is where I get to kind of the part where it's not all doom and gloom, because in the midst of all this, we have Trump, who won the presidency despite several assassination attempts, one of which I don't think could have ever been faked. Okay, there's people out there saying that his assassination was fake and he's in on it and this and that. No, I don't think
I
that
don't
that could
even
have been
listen to that.
faked.
How do you get shot in the ear and 1 millimeter over, you're dead, and you fake it? Give me a break.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of that's just clickbait stuff, to be honest. And so we have RFK Jr., who's coming on to the scene at just the right time. Hopefully he shuts down the seed oil industry, and we have people waking up. Now, it's not the typical way that people are waking up. So, like I said earlier, usually both military orders in the past have used sort of a manufactured demolition through Tavistock and through other means. But, you know, they purposely expose a problem that they created so that then they can come in with their solution. It's called Hegelian dialectic. I'm sure
Sure.
your audience is
Problem,
familiar with
reaction,
that.
solution. Absolutely, yes.
Yep. And in my opinion, it's just not what I'm seeing today. What I'm seeing is people are waking up, and I just don't think it's the same this time as the controlled demolition in the past. People are rising up. Our institutions will be changing, and you know, this would be by the people, for the people. These two orders are so focused on competing with each other that they're missing the fact that life's going on and people are waking up. They're so arrogant. These two orders are so
You're right.
arrogant
You're right.
and wrapped up in their insanity that they're not realizing that the people have more power than they ever thought. They always thought that we're just this pawn scum, okay? But we are actually waking up. We're taking charge. People are learning to be more self-reliant. And that's why I think things have been so crazy lately, is because the both sides are losing control. Now, that being said, we're going to see some crazy stuff happening, just as you know, Dave. This is not a time to celebrate. I mean, I celebrated when I woke up and found out that Trump won. It was clean cut. Didn't seem to be any shenanigans, but this is not the time to relax, take your foot off the gas. This is time to use your discernment. This is time to really continue your research, because we just don't know what's going to happen in the world. It's probably going to get very, very chaotic before it gets better.
It
I
is.
think the calm before the storm was like, has been this time right now. This is the calm before the storm, in my opinion. This was like we woke up the day after the election. We were all shocked to see that Trump won. It was clean cut. There was no shenanigans. There was shenanigans, but it
Well,
wasn't like
they
last time.
limited the shenanigans through positive action and awareness. Now,
Yeah.
you're
Yep.
absolutely right. And you said something I want to capitalize on here and really emphasize. Between now and about March, we're going to go through some hard times. There's going to be a power struggle. I don't believe the left is going to leave power willingly. And there's a reason why Trump appointed someone like Bobby Kennedy to take charge of the FDA, because I wish he knew about you. I don't know Bobby Kennedy, but I wish he could have you on his staff,
Oh,
because
that would
he's
be a
going to come
dream.
in. He's going to slash and burn and do the right thing. It's his mission from God. I've heard him talk about this. He said, "I prayed every day that I could make a difference in this area." And he said, "God sent me Donald Trump."
Oh, that's so inspiring. I have the chills. I didn't hear him say that, but that is good
It
to
is.
know.
But here you are, you're bringing a similar message, a little different, but it's along the same lines. How can we help people, and how can we help them avoid the bad stuff that's been done to them? Why do you
Yep.
think it, just out of curiosity, do you have any notions on why people would want to poison us?
For many reasons. I mean, you can look at it from the angle. There's different angles. They just want to make more money. They want to consolidate power to their specific order. Let's take the Jesuit order, for example, consolidating even more money and more power to this one world potential government that's going to happen, while keeping us, down and sick and also dependent on their system, because that's the other angle. They want us to be reliant on big pharma and, for example, seed oils, along with many other ingredients. But in my professional 20 years of being a researcher, a personal trainer, a nutritionist, and I've been in it 20 years doing this, in my professional opinion, seed oils are kind of at the head of all of this, because they create this metabolic dysfunction. Yeah, okay. Sugar itself creates issues. It creates a lot of issues with your insulin. It's not good to have this refined sugar made by
If I ever
these
had
same
cancer, I
industries.
would cut sugar totally out. I know that much from my
Exactly.
research.
Yep.
You're so right on the money. And it's almost like big ag that has been controlled feeds into big pharma to keep permanent patients recycling with this, with increasing levels of illness. And
Yeah.
there's your profit motive there. I think that's part of it. I also think there's a spiritual issue here too that we probably don't have time to get into. But these people are pure abject evil. I mean, that's how I look at them. They know what they're doing is bad for us, don't they?
Oh, they definitely do. And destroying our means of creating energy from the food that we eat is the biggest problem, in my opinion. And this can be linked to other things too: chemtrails in the air, chemtrails in poison in our water supply. This is what fluoride does too. It ruins our ability to make ATP energy from the food that we eat or from our own body fat. So it reduces our ability to make energy. And sugar is very, very damaging, but sugar doesn't do that. All these other things that we shouldn't be eating, I have yet to come across another chemical that destroys our ability to make energy at the cellular level. And let me just say that even though we spent the whole time today talking about seed oils, it's not that simple. It's linoleic acid, which is found in seed oils. Now, there's toxic aldehydes, there's other components of seed oils that are terrible also, but high levels of linoleic acid is in all of these seed oils. Now, this is what destroys your metabolism. This is what creates this issue where your cells can mutate, your cells can become insulin resistant. And it's not like, so linoleic acid is a naturally occurring fat. It's a fatty acid that occurs naturally, but you find it in trace amounts in plants, okay? Like trace amounts. What these people are doing is they're concentrating this oil, and our linoleic acid consumption is like now 40 times higher than what it's supposed to be. And this is where the issue is. I won't get into the science of it. I actually get into the science of it in
Well,
my
what
nutrition
foods?
course.
Okay, I agree. I don't want to have the audience's eyes glaze over, but let's talk about what kinds of foods are implicated in this. Where do we start first?
Well, we see high linoleic acid levels in commercially grown chicken. We see it in commercially available pork products and many, many other products that you wouldn't even expect. So, for example, if you get an apple at Whole Foods, for example, you're going to most likely get an apple that's covered in linoleic acid, and it's in the form of seed oils that they spray on this apple to keep the apple from not going bad. Okay, so it's to in increase the shelf life,
Preservatives,
but
basically, right?
it's a preservative, and they can say that it's a plant-based preservative. So there's all these buzzwords, plant-based. Don't eat anything plant-based because it's most likely, like, just eat a plant. Eat a plant while it's in season, and that's it.
Dan, what do we do?
Well, I will tell you that if you want to, if you, yeah. So there's several answers to this. First of all, stay away from all processed food. Ultra processed food, stay away from it. Be aware of something called linoleic acid. Be aware of seed oils. And I can tell you that if you want to really, really, really dive in deep, I do have a course that people can sign up for. It's an online course. I'm a nutritionist, I'm a personal trainer, and I've been doing this many years, researcher. And you know, it's you get a lot for the money. It's a basically self-paced educational online nutrition course. There's an optional 40 question graded final exam. You don't have to do it, but it's just to kind of test what you've learned.
I'd want to know. I don't
Yeah,
want to know what I know. Yeah, exactly.
it also comes with a bunch of other stuff. There's a shopping list, so people know what to buy at the store and what not to buy. There's a cookware prep list because it really also comes down to what you're cooking on, like cookware, pots and pans, whatever. There's also a food cheat sheet in the case that you're out at a restaurant or you're out at a birthday party or whatever. There's this cheat sheet that you can use to basically still have fun, but lower your impact of this linoleic acid and other chemicals that are in your foods. There's also a beginner sample workout that I put together for people if they want to start working out, start getting in shape, because working out is a way that you can heal your metabolism. There's also a direct access to ask me questions, which is, I think, probably one of the biggest pluses to this. And because you can comment, you can ask questions inside the course. You can also join my private chat group. It's me along with a bunch of other patriots that have also bought this course, and you get to kind of see their results. One person lost 90 pounds just from cutting out linoleic acid. Didn't even adjust their calorie intake at all. It's not like they starved themselves. It's not like, you know, this person lost a lot of weight, and there's other people in there that have lost a lot of weight too. So again, you know, it's an online course. It's pretty affordable. And especially if you use the promo code Dave, you get 20% off of the course. And you don't have to do it at any specific time. It's self-paced. So, and you always have access to it. You can take the course as many times as you want, and it's very affordable. So,
I like that because people will go back and say, what did I learn about that? I kind of forgot. I really like that. Okay, so our time is really starting to run short here, but I want to make sure I get this in because what you did that was really good, Dan, you talked to the level of the audience, no medical expert lingo kind of stuff. Just you told them straightforward what they need to know. And now you're offering them an opportunity.
Opportunity to continue to connect with me too. So that's the thing, is people can connect with me, ask me questions,
I love it.
and we have this private chat group. So I'm really here to help people. I'm not here to just make money like the disgusting globalists. So
No,
That's all I have to
that's
say.
right. Well, that's why I have you on, because I know you're not about that. And we're fighting against the disgusting globalists. So we go to thepatriottrainer.com, okay, and use my name as the promo code for 20% off.
Yep, make sure you type in the Patriot Trainer, include the word
Patriot.
thepatriottrainer.com, and you'll see the course. Just enter that code DAVE. That's it. You get 20% off.
Fantastic stuff. I got to
Yep.
tell you, I'm Bobby Kennedy should put you on a staff, and I'm not saying that to blow smoke at you. This has really been enlightening. I know some of the things you taught the audience today, but I didn't know a lot of the details. This was really good. Okay,
Yeah,
well,
I mean, I hope people got a lot out of the history. It's not just Procter and Gamble. It's a much deeper
it's good.
conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy theory. It is true, and you can do this, but just by checking public records.
No, I know a lot of the stuff you went through, the progression. That's why I asked you if the medical school curriculum kind of
Yeah.
paralleled this movement, because I've heard enough of this before that I was pretty much able to make sense out of it. Ladies and
Yeah.
gentlemen, we have it, thepatriottrainer.com, coupon code Dave, and good health to all of you, because the times we're entering into right now, you need to be the best version of yourself. Dan, thanks so much for coming on. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks so much, Dave. You're a good friend. It's good to be back here, and I hope everyone got a lot out of this show today.
I know I did. This was fascinating. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you back here next time. God bless all of you. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. We need to replace the ignorance with preparation and action. And right now, you need to be thinking about preparation. The Biden administration is doing everything they can do. And I don't mean Biden. I mean the puppets behind him that control his little string, sign here, Joe, because I'm telling you, they're not going to be happy until they have provoked World War III. Absolutely, this is a huge, huge problem right now. We're going to tell you all about it. But first, we're going to tell you about our sponsor, Magic Dicol. They produced the NanoSoma spray that you've heard me talk about that restored me to being healthy again and doing things I hadn't done in years. But I had a block, and the block were my joints. And particularly my knees just would blow up when I would start really pushing myself, whether running, pushing the sled, playing a little basketball. And again, Scotty Sack said, "Dave, try this Metasomer gel. Rub it on." Took a few weeks, and all of a sudden, I wasn't swelling. I didn't feel pain. I can do squats, deadlifts, play basketball, push the sled, run sprints. I mean, it's amazing what I can do. Listen, this product doesn't cure anything. What it does is it boosts your immune system. And if you go through and you go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges and scroll down, look at the Metasomer gel, you're going to see that this has a direct effect on stem cells. Just look at the product description. And I believe that's what's doing this for me. If you're having joint issues, do what I did. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges, get the Metasomer gel, and stay tuned because I think good days are ahead. Hal Turner is reporting something I said was coming. The Ukrainians have wanted to strike deep into Russia, particularly to the supply lines. And if you could knock out the supply lines, you could absolutely stop the Russian advance. And except for aerial assaults, it would basically minimize the ground troops within a couple of weeks as the supplies would run down. Well, according to sources that Hal Turner is citing, ATACMS are going to be used, and they're basically hypersonic ballistic missile systems that can target the supply lines deep inside Russia. And I'll tell you, Putin is not going to sit still for this. Putin is absolutely positively going to respond in the affirmative. I don't know how far he's going to go, but I don't think he can wait until Donald Trump takes office, or if he does get to take office. I'm not sure that that's going to happen. But what I can tell you is we may end up having World War III. Biden will resign, Harris will take over, and she'll never leave because we'll be in a state of emergency caused by the war. How sure am I of this? I'm pretty damn sure. I'm sure this is their intent. Now, Can we stop it? Can we head it off? Public opinion can right now. Right now, you have a window to stop this. A window. You don't have much of a window. So what do? You contact a representative, say, we're not supporting the use of Atacams, ATA, CMS. They'll know what you're talking about. You say, we're not accepting, we're not going to go with the draft, we're not going to support, we're not sending our young adult kids. We're not on board with this. You better stop it now. Other than that, I don't have any options right now other than just plain old civil disobedience. Hell no, we won't go. Stay tuned. More to develop. We've got big stories coming for the rest of the afternoon and later segments here. And wow. Terrorism in Arizona, we have some major, major updates on that. We'll see you back here next time. Check us out at thecommonsenseshow.tv for the very best in interesting programming called HIPS, Hiding in Plain Sight, Untold History, Mysteries of the Mind, so forth, and our geopolitical stuff too. Thecommonsenseshow.tv, sign up today. It's exclusive comment on HIPS. No commercials, and this is the only place you can get it.